Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Josh Kelly, running back of the Chargers, for joining us in the last hour. This segment brought to us by our friends at Nature Valley Crunch. With the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, you can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. With whole grade oats, real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, will join us here in just a second. I did just send out the tweet for Josh Kelly. I told you guys earlier, if you listen to the interview, he said that even as talented as he is, as many big runs as he had in college football, he wasn't a good trash talker. So I told him we'd put it out there on Twitter. So I have tweeted at him and thanked him for coming on the show, and have allowed you and asked you guys to tweet him back with good trash talk, because he says he's too goofy when he trash talks. He's not good at it. So we need suggestions to help him trash talk when he scores a touchdown now that he's going to be a running back in the NFL. So have fun with that. Now we will have fun with Jeff Passan. Are you a good trash talker, Passan? I feel like you can roll.
I got a little game. It's time specific game though. Like if right. I'm in the middle of something, I can usually read what's happening. Like I don't have any canned lines. I feel like that's lame. You know?
Yeah.
It needs to be spontaneous. It needs to be in the moment for it to be authentic.
Right. I would agree wholeheartedly. So, but you know what? For a young man, if you can get a few lines on Twitter, I figured we can help him out. He said he needed the help and he was willing to take the help. You know, he could kind of work a few out and then kind of adjust them, you know, based on how he feels. And if they pop into his head and it works, you know?
I don't know. I feel like that's cheating a little bit, honestly. Maybe you need like a baseline of what's good, but if you're going in beforehand with like preloaded material, that doesn't feel like trash talk to me. Maybe if you do like research, like if you add the research component, I feel like that's what opposing fans in college basketball do really well. Like they research opponents and find out like the names of their moms and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's me right there. That's some good psychological warfare.
So let me tell you something. Funny story. John Randall used to be a Pro Bowl defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, and that was his thing. Like, he would know, I would talk to guys in the league who would laugh, because he would know your mom's name, your sister's name, your cousin's name, like, you know, your dad's name, your uncle, your grandma, he would name your entire family and say all sorts of awful things about them.
I'm glad, by the way, you're bringing up family, because my son, who we were trying to teach to roll his R's,
yes,
is about to head on a nature walk with his brother and my wife right now. But I wanted to show you just how big of a failure you and your audience have been in terms of your suggestion.
Go ahead, give it to us, young Passan.
I'm on speaker right now. Yes. No. You have to.
Okay, come on, young Passan.
George, give him a good word to say where he should be rolling his R's.
Okay, let's keep it simple. Let's just say car in Spanish, which is carro.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be so bad. Oh my gosh.
You almost did it. He almost got it. He almost got it. Do it again.
Cadlo.
Close. You're getting there. It's like it sounds more like a D. It should be an R.
He had to pinch his cheeks together. It's like he put a brace around his cheek and said ca and then pinch and said whoa. It was terrible. All right, now I got both of these knuckleheads in here. Go to the park. We don't need this crap anymore.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was.
The video you sent me was tremendous, though.
It was great, wasn't it?
Because it was so bad. You're right. It was terrible.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
It is. He tried to do it right there, and it was like he hit a wall. instead of just going carro, you know, like that, he went carro and just couldn't even get the O.
He had to do it in
what do I do?
In steps.
Like, you guys have now heard this. You have heard how bad it is.
Do I disown him?
I mean, I don't know. It's not the right time to do that. I mean, if we weren't dealing with a pandemic, I'd say, okay, maybe.
Do I leave? Having been a failure of a father who can't get his gringo son to roll his R's correctly?
All right, let's open it up to the phones. You and I, while we talk baseball, we'll let Laura grab some people on the phones, and then we'll bring them on in the next couple minutes and see if they can help you, Passan, because I feel like this is the bane of your existence right now.
I'm living a really good existence if this is the bane of my existence right now.
All right, 877.
This is the first worldish problem I've ever heard. The white boy's son can't roll his R's.
877-710-ESPN. Help Passan. 877-710-3776. All right. We'll get to those calls in a second. What is this deal? I saw the story USA Today had about mega, mega, mega divisions. I do it in my monster truck voice because I feel like it sounds cooler that way. Mega, mega, mega 10-team divisions. Like, where are we on mega, mega, mega 10-team divisions?
Well, we at ESPN did not actually report on that story because it's not right.
Okay, there you go. Simple as that.
There have been a lot of different plans and options that have been discussed inside of MLB, in front offices, at the Major League Baseball Players Association. That's not one of them. There is absolutely the possibility that we have three pods, three hubs, however you want to put it, and that the Phoenix area, the Dallas metropolitan area, and the Tampa St. Pete area are those three. But the notion of 10-team divisions, if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you just bring the central divisions to Texas, the west divisions to Phoenix, and the east divisions to Tampa and keep them intact? Like, that to me makes a whole lot more sense than going with giant divisions and trying to create a playoff structure out of that.
Yeah, that's the part that was the strangest to me is, yeah, you can bring all those teams to the areas you laid out, but just keep it structured within their own leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
And just a little interleague, right? And a little interleague. That's it.
Exactly. You would have four intra-division games every day, two in the AL and two in the NL, and then one interleague game between an AL and an NL team. And I mean, if you do it that way, and if you're doing, say, one 3-game series a week and another 4 games where you have a, let's say, a doubleheader and then 2 other days with a regular game, and then you have 1 day off a week, you know, you can have one in, you know, you won't have to do interleague series if not for every, what, one every 3 weeks at that point. Like, that's reasonable, especially when considering what the likelihood here is, which is that if they come back and they start playing, they're not going to schedule the rest of the season. They're going to probably, and this is just what makes the most sense here, in that they're talking about potentially going back to home stadiums by the end of the year. Again, don't know if this is realistic, don't know if it's wishful thinking. A lot of it depends on the virus and on us and on how much it spreads and on our reaction to that. But if stadiums and cities open toward the end of the year, there's a possibility that teams are going to want to go back home. And so you have 6 weeks of baseball in these hubs, and then, you know, around the 3 or 4 week mark, you reassess and say, hey, are our next 4 weeks or 6 weeks or however long we want to determine going to be here, or are they going to be back in home ballparks?
Jeff Passan joining us here. If you want to help him teach his son how to roll his R's, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We will take your calls in just 1 second. I have a follow-up question with that. I guess the challenge there is selling, you know, the Clayton Kershaws and Mike Trouts of the world, right, who don't want to leave their families, because you could tell them that it could be a minimum of 6 weeks, right, or whatever. Like, they could set certain parameters, but none of that is guaranteed, right? So are they willing, Jeff, to move on without their star players if they draw a line in the sand?
I think the line in the sand that Kershaw and Trout in particular were drawing may not be as much of an issue, because I think some of the things that are coming to coming into clarity here are that families will be there. Like players just are not, there are going to be too many players who say no, families can't come along. And I don't know that they're going to be quarantined either. And what I mean by that is a strict quarantine where they just go from the ballpark to the stadium, from the stadium to the ballpark, can't leave their, from the hotel to the ballpark, from the ballpark to the hotel, and they can't leave the hotel. I don't know that they're going to agree to a situation like that. And because of that, look, Major League Baseball needs to be flexible. The players are their partners here, and they need to be not just comfortable with the idea of coming back, but they need to be really, really on board with it, because it is going to be different, and it's going to be discomforting for the players, for all of us, honestly, seeing what baseball is like this. It's going to be a weird, weird season and a weird situation, and that makes sense, because right now we're living in a weird time.
Yeah, no doubt about that, for sure. All right, we got a couple of minutes here to take a couple of calls. People are going to try to help you with your son who can't roll his R's. Abraham in L.A. Abraham, what do you got for Jeff?
Hi there, how you doing? Hey, it's not that hard to do that, really. So I'd like to help this kid learn how to roll your R's. It's pretty easy.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's hear it.
I think the problem is that a lot of people try to roll their R's putting their tongue in front of their teeth, like, and you can't do that. You have to put your tongue on top of the upper part of your mouth, and then you roll. You,
yeah. Abraham, listen, you give sage advice here, but my genes apparently suck, because my children cannot do that. And I showed her a video of this.
No.
He put his tongue on the roof of his mouth, behind his teeth, and like he tried to go, and just air came out.
That was a disaster.
Well. He is lingually deficient. I honestly want to just drive a couple hours with him in the car. You know, hey buddy, we're taking a road trip. This is going to be awesome. And then when he's not looking, open the door, throw him out of the car, and drive away as fast as I can.
Oh, no. Oh, Lord. Just a matter of practice. He'll get it. Just keep him trying. Oh, my God.
All right, Abraham. Thank you very much.
Abraham, you're in L.A., right?
Yeah, he dropped already. He dropped already.
He's gone. He can take him. He finds my plan to be that offensive.
Yeah. We have a mom. Let me hear. Who is the mom that we have on? Belly from Oxnard. Go ahead, Belly.
Okay, you got to roll your R's like this.
Oh, thanks. That is really helpful. I appreciate that step-by-step planning right there. You've got to roll your R's like...
Belly, that's not much help.
It starts with an R and say like... Rubia.
Rubia. Rubia is a good word for that. Blonde. Rubia.
Yes. Rubia. But like a cat purr.
That's a good one. A cat purr.
Yeah.
Belly, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Let's say that I told you you're going to have to fly a plane. And you said, how do I do it? And I said to you, you just fly a plane. That's the same thing as you saying you just go like that. It's not easy for us white people to do this.
I would attempt to fly the plane, whether I, you know, actually fly it or not. That's a different story, but you can always try. That's what I'm saying. Just a
Oh, trust me. He's trying. He is just failing miserably.
What's the word that he's trying to say?
Any of them.
Cada palabra. Cada palabra.
Okay. Yeah.
See, if there's an R in the middle of the word, like palabra, then it's kind of, you just kind of put your tongue to the top of the roof a little and palabra.
I know. See, George, we keep getting this tongue to the roof of the mouth advice, and I feel like that's just not working. That's what I'm hoping for here. All right. Is there a non-tongue to the roof of your mouth?
No.
No. Trick.
No, yeah, there's not. It's not. It's that's the basics. Let's try one more. Do we have Jonathan in LA still, Laura? All right, let me hear Jonathan. Jonathan, do you have any help for this man before we go?
Yes. So it's very simple. I'm not going to roll your tongue. I'm just going to give you simple directions. Have your son start saying pot of tea, 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 pot of tea. And you speed it up a little faster.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I see it now.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Jonathan, this might work.
I got you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. That is the best advice so far.
So we'll check in with you next week. We'll give the kid a week. All right. Don't put so much pressure on him. We'll give him a week and we will check in with you again.
Sedano, if he can't do this, you're adopting him. That's all I'm saying.
Bring him here to this household. I have a gringa wife, okay? And I'm Hispanic. I'm Cuban. We'll make it work, okay?
By the way, if I may just say this, he is actually a brilliant child, and this is pretty much the only thing that he can't do. And if anybody ever tried to do anything to him or take him, I would ensure that doesn't happen. So he's the best, and he's a good sport for playing along and having his father laugh at him on the radio.
It's fantastic stuff, and we appreciate it too, and tell him we appreciate it. We will check in next week with you and see if Jonathan's instructions help.
Para ti,
Passan. See you later.
Later, buddy.
There he is, Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, the best in the business. Trudell is going to join us at 11:30. But coming up next, are we going to Disney World? Is the NBA going to Disney World? We'll tell you what it's all about next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Mike Trudell is going to join us in the next segment. Happy birthday, Travis Scott! As you hear him there. Well, you don't hear him. You hear the beat. Travis Scott is 28 years old today. Happy birthday to him. So, Laura, give me your 20-something-year-old rapper rankings right now. Your top three.
Ooh, I can't. Mine are all old.
You can't give me the 20-somethings like him? How old is Kendrick Lamar? He's in his 20s, right?
Yeah, okay. Wow, you're more informed than I. Yeah, Kendrick. Schoolboy Q, I think he's in his 20s.
Yeah.
Kendrick is 32.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Is Schoolboy Q in his 20s?
Is Schoolboy Q in his 20s?
That's a great question. Let's see. He's 33.
Okay, yeah. See, wow. All of mine are older because J. Cole is also in his 30s, I believe.
Is J. Cole 32? Wow.
J. Cole is 35.
Yeah, see? So all of mine would be definitely over. I mean, I'm 31, so 20s, yeah. Mm. Sorry, I failed you, George, but at least I have better taste than the rappers coming out now.
I'm just saying.
You don't like? Do you like the mumble? You like the mumble rap?
I don't.
I don't love
that.
The mumble rap either, though.
Neither. I'm not into that.
Future, yeah, it's just not. It's not my thing.
No.
Yeah, it's not my thing, but it's fine. Like, it's not. You know. How about Chance the Rapper? He's 20. He's in his 20s.
He's all right.
You don't like him?
He's okay. I mean, I'm not going to be running out to see him if he would be putting on a show, but he's cool. If okay. I get free tickets, I'll go see him.
All right, I got a list.
Free tickets.
I got a list. Do you know Tierra Whack?
I 24? Mean, Whack?
Yeah. I'm just reading a list. I'm just reading a list.
I mean, we should just have you read the list because of how awful it'll sound when you're reading it.
Right. Playboi Carti? No? Oh, no, sorry. Playboi. No, that's wrong. Playboi Carti? No?
How about Little Uzi Vert?
No.
I mean, at least Denzel I know how to. Oh, dude. Offset.
What did I say wrong?
Okay. Okay. If Offset. Yeah. Okay. Offset.
I mean, Cardi B counts. She's in her 20s.
Cardi's cool. I mean, woman, I give her. Okay.
How about Tyler, the Creator?
Staples. Eh.
Oh, I like Tyler.
You don't
Tyler
like Tyler, the Creator?
He's okay.
Yeah. I like, so Travis Scott, I like Chance the Rapper. And then, you know, either Cardi or like Offset, right? Like is in that conversation.
I think for me, because I like old school rap, it's difficult for me. I stay with, like, I think J. Cole and that age group of rappers was the
yeah,
last
yeah, I
time.
Get you. Yeah. I get you. I get you. No, for sure. I get it. All right. So could we be going to Disney World? That might be the case. Sham Sharania, who is one of the best newsbreakers in the business, he reported yesterday on The Athletic and on Stadium that the NBA is looking at Walt Disney World. Here's the sound.
Safety first. Once we can determine that we can keep the players and all the important personnel that are required.
That's Mark Cuban. It's okay. So Sham Sharania said that the NBA is exploring Disney World. Here's the sound now.
The NBA is considering Disney's resort in Orlando as a potential playing site when players in the league believe it is safe to resume play from the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm told Disney is believed to have already offered up its property as the NBA sees fit. The NBA has discussed and considered several different playing sites, Orlando being the latest. Las Vegas has also been discussed. The NBA, just like the rest of the world, is still trying to get a handle on the virus. And sources tell me Commissioner Adam Silver had a call with the NBA's 30 GMs on Wednesday, and they had a league doctor on the call who shared some positive developments on potential drugs and medicines for the virus, and also a vaccine trial starting at some point soon in England. So before the NBA can get to any return timetable, any return place, they still need to get through hurdles around testing, around the virus itself, around the medical components that still exist.
Yeah. So look, the NBA is exploring all these options. The NBA is considering a place like Disney World because Disney World, for those that have never been, is 39 miles, a 39 mile radius of an area that they can easily quarantine off from the rest of the world. Like there are literal entrances and exits to Disney World that they could close off to the rest of the world. And just that's where you're hanging out. And it's a small world after all at that point.
And you can ride the small world after all. But how many different – you're from because Florida. Do you have – how many different places in Orlando is there for them to play?
They don't need to play in Orlando. They're going to be playing in Disney World.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so in Disney World, is there places to
– Yes, the NBA does their big AAU tournament there. You know, it's called the NBA Junior something or other. I don't know. I've never been to it, but I know they do it every year. And it so they have a regulation full-size NBA gym or multiple courts there that they could play on. Yeah, they've got the facilities. Plus, Disney World has the Disney Wide World of Sports complex, so there's another facility there. They've got multiple facilities that they can play in for sure. Sorry, I had to almost burp there because I've been drinking these sparkling ice waters. And, you know, sometimes the natural sparkling water will make a little gas come up.
Yep, those bubbles will get you.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have multiple facilities there. They can play there with no questions. Like, it's not even a debate. And I think that it's going to be fascinating because they are also, all those places are wired for TV already. So you can make that adjustment very simple as well.
Yeah, I just would they have to go to Orlando at all? Like go play at the Magic Stadium Arena?
No. No, it's in a different location.
No, I don't. Like, I mean, like I've never been to Orlando.
Disney
I don't
World,
know what it looks
Disney
like.
World is not in Orlando. It's outside of Orlando.
Is it really?
Yes.
I've always thought it was in Orlando, Florida.
No, it's in Kissimmee. That's the name of the town Kissimmee. That it's called. Yes.
Ah.
It's like saying, you know, it's like say, like is Long Beach L.A.? I mean, it's L.A. County.
No, yeah, no.
But it's
really.
Not L.A., you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's closer than that, but it's, you know, it's
well,
like
if you ask if you ask the Angels, they're in L.A., and that's Anaheim.
Right, they're we all know that that's not the case. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's its own area. And Disney owns 39 mile radius. Like, that's a lot of land. You know what I mean? Like, that's not just like a small place. That's a big town.
No, I mean, look, it makes too much sense, actually, when you think about it. It actually works better than Vegas, even. But I think you're also getting, you know, the because Vegas and because Florida, two things that you have to worry about also at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you are. But you're insulated at Disney. You can, yes. Like I said, you can shut it off from the rest of the world, basically.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And I hope that that's where they go.
Yeah. And there was a CNBC report that said that executives are saying that it wasn't going to happen, that the league should be canceled. And I told you that the league told me that that wasn't the case. And LeBron tweeted about it. And LeBron basically said, no, this is nonsense. No one's saying that. So there you go. I'm telling you, listen to the right people, LeBron included. All right. Coming up next, Mike Trudell is going to stop by. I got a couple of NBA questions for Mike Trudell. So there's two things happening right now. There is a game being played on social media right now, which is basically take the first letter of your first name and create the best five-man NBA lineup that you can create. The Jays are pretty good for me. We'll do that with Trudell. Plus, I want to get into the story that Tim Bontemps had, which is if you had to start your franchise with a young player in the NBA today, who would you do it with? We'll talk to Trudell about that. We'll talk to Trudell about what's going on with the Lakers. All coming up in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like Mike Trudell, who'll join us here in a second. If you missed any one of our interviews today, like Jeff Passan, as the audience did a great job teaching him and his son how to roll their R's. And we talked baseball, too. And, of course, Josh Kelly of UCLA, which the audience will suggest trash talk to him. He said he was a goofy trash talker as a running back. And now that he's going to the NFL, he needs to work on his trash talk game. You could go to the Sedano Show podcast in the interview on demand section on Apple Podcasts, ESPN app, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member, FDIC. So Mike Trudell joins us here now. So Trudell, before we even get into any basketball stuff, we were just talking about how it's Travis Scott's 28th birthday. And I was asking the crew, who are the best 20-something-year-old rappers? And, you know, look, I know your rap game is strong. Your hip hop game is strong, but I don't know if you're down with the 20-year-olds anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you've got kids, you got another kid on the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got stuff to deal with. Are you still hanging with the 20-year-olds in the hip hop game?
No, I can't claim to be that much, George. I mean, have I heard the latest Lil Baby or Da Baby or Roddy Ricch? Like, sure, you know, I can identify a few of the songs, but I'm certainly a loyalist to, you know, the greatest, such as Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z, A Tribe Called Quest, Outkast. That's where you can find me most of the time, George, but I can identify a song or two from some of the up-and-comers.
Okay, just fair enough. Just asking, because, you know, when we were talking about it, like, I didn't realize Kendrick Lamar is already 32 years old, you know what I'm saying? And J. Cole's 35. Like, to me, I thought those were the young guys, and then I realized, no, they're not. They're not the young guys anymore.
I definitely feel old in the context of hip-hop, for sure. And I also feel grouchy in the fact that the new stuff, I just can't quite, and this is just how music works, right? It's all about what your generation is and what you appreciate. And I'm learning that as I approach 40 in 2 years.
Yeah, you're getting old. That's the first thing. The first sign, anyone listening right now can admit this. The first sign of getting old is, yeah, the music, I don't vibe with it as much anymore. That is sign number one. So get ready, because it's downhill from here.
For sure.
Yo, all right,
is Mateo eating you guys out of your home yet?
Oh my God,
two kids instead of one.
Kid is so, I mean, he's an offensive lineman. This child, he's 18 months old, and he's like, he can play left tackle at USC if he wants.
Yeah, dude, like he's now starting to impact your pickup orders. Where like instead, where you like, the baby can just have some scraps, and now you have to actually like order an additional menu item.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, so instead of spending, you know, like 25, 30 bucks, you're up to 40. Probably on most of your takeout type stuff, maybe.
Yeah,
50.
And he creeps his sister's food too. Like, she's a slow eater because she's tall and skinny and has a really fast metabolism, and she's also easily distracted. If she just turns her head, it's like, yo, watch it. I got it. It's mine. It's in my mouth. It's over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very strange. But anyway, so a couple of things for you. Let me get to some basketball here because I want to do some non-basketball on the back end. So Tim Bontemps had a story, and he had it on ESPN.com, and it was about which young player in their first or second season would you start your NBA franchise with? And I would love to hear who you would be, who you would pick in that scenario, and maybe even rank me a couple of guys, perhaps, if you could. So obviously the guys that are available are the rookies from this year, right? Zion, Ja, et cetera. But if we're going 2 years, you've got Luka, you've got Trae Young. I would imagine those four would probably be near the top of any list when it comes to the first or second year players.
I mean, to me, this one is not even close. It's Luka Doncic. And there's just not another player that you could convince me is even in the conversation for Luka. That includes Trae Young. That includes Zion. I know that a lot of people will make the case for Zion, but I need to see a full season of health. I need to see how he comes back with his body. And the talent is ridiculous. The efficiency is ridiculous. George, you saw him in person more times than I did. So you could probably speak to him a little bit better, but I think every one, but maybe two of his games. And Luka is already the guy that can lift his team to the extent where you are a legit playoff contender just by having him on the roster, and he can dictate scoring and either for himself or for a teammate. The triple-double type numbers are 30 points, the efficiency. So, yeah, I'm Team Luka here, and I don't have a close second.
So I would agree with you that Luka, based on skill, for sure, is that guy. Now, here's my case for Zion, okay? Because it's not just the skill part of it, which he certainly has plenty of skill, but still needs to be refined in certain areas, and he doesn't have the skill set that Luka has. But as a franchise, what about just the fact that he is like a phenomena, right? Beyond just the on-the-court impact, which he has plenty. I mean, he's a ratings guy, okay? Like, think about it. He's one of the few guys outside of the Lakers and LeBron and AD and those guys that will get you for sure over 2 million viewers, right? And that no matter where he goes, you know, people are going to pack the arenas. Like, he's got that kind of he's that kind of an attraction. Like, he's a box office attraction. Does that sell you in any way, maybe as far as a long-term approach? Because he's going to be great as long as he stays healthy. But he has more of a box office draw than Luka.
Well, so I can't argue that, George, and the TV ratings back that up, the hype and the excitement around Zion. The only thing I would posit as a little bit of a caveat here is, let's say that Luka Doncic went to Duke or Kentucky, right, and we got to watch him for a full season and have that sort of hype build. He would have been probably the greatest college player of all time, or at least probably since, like, Kareem, just considering how good he was at that age because he had been playing professionally already. Mm-hmm. So I do think that like, ultimately, you're right about the hype and about the ratings and maybe even the attention. But to me, long-term, because you said which player would you start a franchise with, the way that you ultimately make fans happy is by winning. And to me, Luka's got the best chance of having a winning franchise because of what his skill set is. And it's also, like, he's not a dull person. He's not Kawhi. You know, he's not a guy or Tim Duncan that's going to stay out of the limelight. And by the way, speaking of those two, the Spurs were like this think about the franchise that they had for 20 years with guys without personalities. So you don't even really need one to answer this question, but Luka does have one. He's somewhere in between, right? That Zion smile. And so I'm definitely persuaded by some of your argument, but I'll still take Luka, and I'm still going to have a little bit of a distance before that number two.
Okay, I want to play another game with you in a second, but let's talk about something LeBron tweeted today, which was awesome. So let's take it back. Yesterday, Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium reports that the NBA is looking at Disney World as a possibility to resume the season, the one in Orlando. And, you know, it's easy to incubate. It's a 39-mile radius. They literally have an entrance and an exit. Like, they can just kind of quarantine themselves off from the rest of the world. It's very easy. And as Greg pointed out, you can ride the Matterhorn, you know, in between games or whatever you want to do. So there's that report. And then this morning, the CNBC report comes out that executives are talking about shutting down the league and blah, blah, blah. And I had heard differently. I reached out to the league. And they were like, no, that there's nothing to that. And then LeBron, they put out a statement to the league. And of course, LeBron went out there strong and just basically said that the report was nonsense. I will read you said tweet from LeBron James. Saw some reports about execs and agents wanting to cancel the season? ? That's absolutely not true. Nobody I know is saying anything like that. As soon as it's safe, we would like to finish our season, and I'm ready, and our team is ready. Nobody should be canceling anything. And of course, the crown emoji on that to punctuate said tweet. I would say it's fair to say, no disrespect to CNBC, that I'm taking LeBron's side on this. Yes.
Well, it's not just LeBron's side. It's every public comment that we've heard, whether it's Adam Silver, whether in LA it's Frank Vogel, LeBron, Alex Caruso. I spoke to Danny Green. They're all saying the same thing, which is the number one priority is that everybody is safe, that this is a global issue. It's not just about the NBA. But then they give the qualifier, but if safe, right, we all would love to come back, whether that's the players, the coaches, the people like you and me in media, the TV executives, like on and on, they're just fans. Everybody wants stuff to come back, George. So it's, I don't think this changes that conversation. It's just all about the unknown. And we're getting more information week by week. And I do think it's a little bit reckless for, you know, people outside of Dr. Fauci to speculate on what that's gonna tell us in a month.
Yeah, let's go. You got to go listen to Fauci. That's all you got to do. Even Trudell tells you, listen to Fauci. All right, let's play a game here real quick. I don't know if you saw this on social media yesterday. It's a thing that's been floating around on Twitter for a day or two. And the game is this. Using only the first letter of your first name, make the best possible active NBA starting five. You want to hear mine?
Sure.
Ja Morant, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid. Beat that.
Okay, so the first name has to start with M in my case.
Correct.
That is definitely tougher with M. I mean, you have like Montrezl Harrell,
Mike Conley,
Mitchell Robinson, Mike Conley. There aren't a lot of great mics right now. Marquise Chris? Michael Porter Jr.?
Oh, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is not a bad one. You got some upside there.
I get Brogdon. Right?
Oh, you got Brogdon. Brogdon. There you go. Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon, Michael Carter Williams off the bench. I mean, Mo Wagner? Yeah, the M's are not carrying the day here. I don't think there's a single All-Star this year with an M for a first name.
Yeah, I'm thinking M's. You've got Brogdon, Conley, maybe Mo Harkless, Markieff. You got one of the Morris twins, whichever one you want, and Mitchell Robinson. Yes.
Yeah, I mean Mitchell Robinson. I mean Montrezl Harrell can start for me.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, it's bleak. It's bleak for the M's.
I think the K's got it. If you look at K's, like K's are pretty impressive. You got Kyrie, right? You've got Kevin Durant. You've got Kawhi. Yeah, the K's.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Klay Thompson. Kristaps Porzingis. You know?
So you got LeBron and Luka.
Yeah.
And like, who cares? Who cares what the rest of the roster is?
Right. Right. I mean, you could look, I could do that game too. How about Alex Caruso? You're done. That's it. You don't need anybody else.
Exactly. A's, you're right. A's, the A's win it.
Yeah. Caruso. There it is. Alex Caruso. He wins. So, fun question for you today. The IMDb site created a question that has gone viral as well. And that question is, who is the person you hated the most on television? Like, if the character, basically, that you saw that you hated the most unlikable TV character of all time is who for Mike Trudell?
Oh, God, it's such a great question, and I would need so much longer to think about it. I mean,
you didn't just have, like, a visceral reaction to someone you saw on TV?
I'm already doing the thing where I'm trying to rank, like I'm going to the TV shows that I like the most. So I'm trying to think of The Wire and who I hated the most in The Wire. Like who is in the whole thing was great about The Wire was that they presented two sides for everybody. You know, there wasn't like the super clean good guy and the super bad guy. So the Wire might have to be ruled out there. I mean, is there a Breaking Bad character? I don't think so. What was your answer?
I mean, Ross from Friends. He drove me insane.
You know, I was a little bit biased towards Ross because he went to Northwestern, and one of my best friends was in his dorm room freshman year. Like, he inherited Ross's dorm room, so I kind of always tried to defend him a little bit based just on Northwestern love. But yeah, he was really annoying when you watch the show. I mean,
Else is in that same category? Ted from How I Met Your Mother. And it's funny, years and years and years ago, probably like 10 years ago, I had Neil Patrick Harris on the show. And I asked him, why is Ted's character such a wuss? And all he did was laugh. Like, he just laughed. Like, he said, you're right. He is absolutely that. There is no question about it. But yeah, I feel like Ross and him are the same person.
Yeah, I mean, the flip side of that, I don't know why I thought of this the other day, but the flip side of that question was, who is my favorite TV character lately? And I don't know if you watch Veep, George, but Jonah Ryan on Veep.
I love Jonah Ryan, but he is super cringe at times. Yes.
Yeah, but he was kind of like, I enjoy watching him the most, but his character itself is obviously despicable. But he was certainly fantastic. Yeah, I gotta do some homework on this one.
Okay, and get back to me. We'll get back to me for the next time you're on. So you've got some cool stuff on Lakers.com right now about Lakers team rankings. Tell people what they can see there and what they can debate there.
Well, so you and I are on the side of the media since we didn't play in the NBA, where like we have to put statistics and arguments behind our eye test. And so my eye test to me tells me that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA slightly. I think just ahead of the Clippers and a bit ahead of the Bucks. But what I wanted to look at was some of these statistical categories like net rating, and the Bucks have a much better net rating than anybody. About 3 points better than the Lakers, but I really dove deep into say why that shouldn't actually mean much. And the main spoiler reason, George, is because the Eastern Conference, they play so many teams that are weak. Like the seventh seed in the West is so much better, Dallas, than the seventh seed in the East by like 20 games. So that ends up, that net rating differential ends up evening out if you consider the opposition. So it's just stuff like that. And then road wins, the Lakers had 26 of them, first in the league by a pretty fair margin. So that kind of stuff, the stats end up kind of supporting what, for me at least, the eye test that the Lakers have the best chance of winning the title this year. And it also, it just makes you think viscerally on the same level, man, is there any way to get basketball back considering that everything can be safe? There's just so much on the line for the Lakers based on how the season went.
Are you going to be, in there with gloves and, sanitizing your keys and getting rebounds for guys? Because, look, I know right now everybody's got to do their part. Are you going to be in there or no?
You know, George, right now I am respecting what Governor Newsom and Mayor Garcetti and everybody else, the standards that they have set out. And so, therefore, I am staying home and being as safe as possible. George, thank you for asking the question, though.
All right. Sounds good. All right, Trudell, we think about the TV thing. We'll get back to you next week, and we'll chat with you about it, okay?
All right, buddy. Keep that kid fat, all right?
Yeah. Trust me. It's my entire day. Yeah, exactly. These are the only 2 hours I'm not worrying about feeding him. Good Lord. Anyway, see you, bro.
All right. Later.
Take care. Mike Trudell with us here. All right. Coming up next, why are smart people so stupid? I'll explain what that means in our final segment in just a moment. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Mike Trudell for hanging out with us there. We got about 5-6 minutes here in the segment. Take your calls here real quick. We got some people on hold. Tune into The Last Dance, though. A behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. Series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN television. Listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. So thanks to Trudell, thanks to Jeff Passan, thanks to Josh Kelly of UCLA. If you missed any of those interviews, you should absolutely subscribe to the podcast and go listen to it. Like, they were really, really fun interviews. So we're having a good time. We're doing our best to have fun with you or for you here and with you too, because you guys have participated and we appreciate that as well. Real quick, I teased, why are smart people dumb? So I'm watching Jeopardy yesterday. And it's on like background noise. I'm not like intently paying attention to it. So all of a sudden, I'm listening and they do one of these like music categories. And normally when they do the music categories, they don't always play the song or the video of the song or whatever. So I could get like where people would get things wrong. But yesterday, they played a music video. And the guy not only got it wrong, but got it just terribly wrong. Like, just so bad. And it's been a bad week for Jeopardy because there was a lady who was asked the question about Shaka Zulu, and her answer was Shaka Khan, the singer. Shaka Zulu, the warrior, was the right answer for the particular question, and she answered Shaka Khan, the singer, and the rest of the internet had a lot of fun at her expense. But yesterday, it was a dude who got this musical question wrong, and I threw my hands up in the air. I literally stopped the TV, paused it, and rewound it to watch it back and laugh because it was so ridiculous. Let me hear it, Laura.
She took control and took to the stage in her first live TV performance in nearly a decade. Alwyn.
Who is Ariana Grande?
No. Sarah.
Who is Janet Jackson?
Yes.
What? Ariana Grande? Like, seriously? Like, dude, how do you, like, listen. Ariana Grande is a great performer. That's not my argument here. But Janet Jackson is one of the most iconic people to ever create music. Like, what are we? She comes from one of the most iconic families ever to create music. How do you not know the difference between Janet Jackson and Ariana Grande? This was literally what I was yelling at my television yesterday, too. Like, it made me so mad again just to hear it.
It was very, very funny. But you don't think the ponytail had a little bit of something?
No,
to do
come
with it?
On!
Dude, they showed a video.
They showed
no,
a video.
A video. There was an actual video.
Yeah, that did not look like Ariana Grande.
No, it looked nothing like Ariana Grande, and it's ridiculous. But, I mean, she had the same ponytail that Ariana Grande wears, so maybe he just saw the ponytail.
Ariana Grande is not black, Greg.
No.
Janet Jackson is not white, Greg. There's a basic difference in appearance, okay? One is what is older than the other, too, on top of that. Like, what are we talking about? Like, how do you not know who Janet Jackson is, for God's sake?
That was pretty, pretty terrible. It was very funny.
I have to give Sarah props, though, because she was the one that messed up the Shaka Khan.
She did. Yeah. She nailed it.
She redeemed herself.
She redeemed herself. She did, yes. Jesse in Rancho Cucamonga. Jesse, are you annoyed at just hearing that audio?
Yeah, because, I mean, the fact that it says in the past 10 years in the question,
yes,
I should know, like, Ms. Grande hasn't been, I mean, she's probably been around for 10 years, but not in the big spotlight that she is.
Correct.
Yeah.
What were you calling about, though, buddy? What's up?
Yeah, about the hip-hop artists under 20 or in their 20s.
Yeah.
I think there's one you should probably look up yourself if you're a fan of Eminem. His name is Token, T-O-K-E-N.
Okay.
He's about 21 bars for days.
Oh, really? And he's like, this day and age is Eminem, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. He started when he was like 15 years old, just writing. And he got some traction. He has one song on Madden 2020. He appeared in a movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, because he's from Boston, right? Yeah.
Yeah, from Boston area. So look him up. He's good. He does not mumble one bit. So.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it, brother. Have a great day. Stay safe, okay? Thanks to everyone who took the time to call in. You guys were great today. Thanks to Jeff Passan. Thanks to Mike Trudell. Thanks to Josh Kelly. Thanks to Laura and Greg. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. See ya. Have a great day. We love you.